Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about the City Gate, visit www.thecitygate.org.
I want you to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Let me read from 35 on. And I'm reading from Chuck from the Amplified Version. I don't know if you have that. You can bring that up. On that same day, what same day? The day when Jesus had taught. I'm sorry, I'm supposed to release the children. I'm sorry, Carrie. Let the children be released in the name of Jesus. Amen. What day is that Mark speaking of? Jesus had taught all day on the hillside on the western banks of Sea of Galilee. He had taught about sowing and reaping. It was a whole message about sowing in good seed. And at the end of that day, it says, on the same day when evening had come, that's significant in Jewish thought, he had said to them, let us go over to the other side of the lake. And leaving the throng, he took him with them just as he was in the boat in which he was sitting. And other boats were with him. So he taught from the boat. And then he asked them to come in the boat with him. Let's go to the other side. The boats were with him, verse 37, and a furious storm of wind of hurricane proportions arose, and the waves kept beating into the boat so that it was already becoming filled. But he himself was in the stern of the boat, asleep on the leather cushion, and they awoke him and said to him, Master, do you not care that we are going to die? Have you ever said that to the Lord? And he arose and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, hush, now be still, as though it was muzzled. Zip it up. Stop. Hush. And the wind ceased, sank to the rest as if it was exhausted of its beating. Isn't that beautiful? He said to them, why are you so timid and fearful? How is it that you have no faith, no firmly relying trust is what he means by that. And they were filled with great awe and feared exceedingly and said one to another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea would obey him? Let's pray. Father, I am just a man, but you've called me to teach the word. And so I ask that you would use me as a trumpet or as a guitar or as a keyboard. And Holy Spirit, your wind would blow through me. Open the hearts, my heart, our hearts, the eyes of our heart, the ears to our spirit, man, soul, and our flesh to hear what each one of individually need to hear from this message in Jesus' name. Amen. We have heard for now several years in this church about transition and transformation. We have been taught about change. If you're going to be a true disciple of Christ, you've got to learn to change. We have heard about transition. We have heard about crossing over. We had heard about this is a new season. This is a time for us to move into our purpose and destiny. And great teachers, Jane Hammond, Dutch Sheets, Ken Malone, Harold Eberle. I mean, Apostle Clay Nash. We have heard from some of the, in the charismatic arena of church, some of the greatest teachers and prophetic people and apostolic people. And it's been amazing. But what I want to do, and I felt the Lord a couple weeks ago when Apostle asked me to fill the pulpit for him and teach, I want to talk about the practicality of how do we move from change to transition to transformation. Because we can talk about it and we can say, yeah, we can know it, that it's in our hearts. Something needs to change. There needs to be a movement. But I'm constipated spiritually. I can't get there. Are y'all with me? And so I was thinking about change. Let me give you a couple definitions of change real quick to get you started. Transition is a passage from one state to another. Change the place, the position, or direction. A movement. The Bible is full of transition. It is a state, a stage, a subject. It's a development. It's an evolution. The Holy Spirit wants us to make transitions. When I think about transitions, Abram had to transition to become Abraham. When I think about transitions, Noah had to transition. You think about all throughout Scripture, David had to transition. Joseph had to transition. Jacob had to transition to Israel. I mean, you move on throughout Scripture. Mary, even the mother of Jesus, was going to be stoned. She had to transition her way of thinking and live with Elizabeth, who would disciple her and train her for this birth of the Christ child. So all through life, you have change, transition, and transformation. Now, when I think of change, I think of the baby. I have a grandson in our house, 7-month-old grandson, and we have to change his diaper. In fact, listen to this. At the same time our daughter-in-law was in the middle of a car accident, a head-on collision, our daughter-in-law in Dallas, our middle son and his wife, were going into emergency surgery for emergency C-section. And at the same time there was an accident on one side of our family, our middle son and his wife gave birth through a C-section to Duke Hudson Lehman. Duke meaning leader. Hudson after Hudson Taylor, the pioneer missionary, I think, to China. And I mean, it's amazing. And he was born on June 7th. He was 7 pounds, 7 ounces, and he was 21 inches long, which is 7 times 3, 3 sevens. And he became our 5th grandson, which is the number of grace. I told them all, the next round, they got to have the cheerleaders. Because we got the basketball team. And so we were blessed on Friday evening. And so, change. You've got to change the diaper. But that's change. Transformation is we're able to move from changing diapers to we toilet train them and they can go to the bathroom on their own. How many would say that's transition or transformation? You heard about the 3-year-old. Yeah, it's coming up. We heard about the 3-year-old that wanted to go to the bathroom by himself and they're having trouble training him. So mama said, sure, go on in. And he said, don't come in until I'm finished. Well, you know, it was a matter of time. Mama was a little bit worried, so she peeked in and knocked on the door and said, are you okay? And he was sitting real nice on the toilet with his pants down, his little legs flipping up and down, you know. And every once in a while, he'd do this. She said, Johnny, are you doing anything? He said, nope. She said, well, Johnny, why are you hitting yourself on top of the head? He said, because in the kitchen, when the ketchup bottle doesn't work, you hit the top of the bottom of the ketchup bottle. And I just thought it might work for me. Now that's transition. Right? I was thinking about this. You know, change is dieting. I mean, we all want to change, so we diet. We go in that closet and we put on that piece of garment and we say, maybe 5 more pounds. But transition is when we can get into that piece of garment. And transformation is when we are at a weight that we want to be and we have to buy all new clothes. Come on. Are y'all with me? When I first started ministry, I did this. Debbie and I had a sound system. We traveled all over the country singing Southern gospel music. Could he, can he, did he, could he, can he, could he, can he, yes he did. And I don't even know the words. You know, we sang all those songs. If it wasn't for the lighthouse. And we sang in revivals, and we sang in conferences, and we sang at camp meetings, and we sang at pastor's retreats. And we had a station wagon and a trailer, and I mean, we were the real deal. And then God said, I want you to preach. And I said, well, why didn't you tell me that when I was in college? Because that meant I had to go to seminary. Now, this is the old wineskin I was living in. So I went to seminary. I got an MDiv. Master of Divinity. Doesn't mean anything. Because it was at a cemetery, not a seminary. No, I'm teasing. No, I went to a good school, Asbury Theological Seminary. And long story short, we start our journey in pastoring. Debbie's attending Park Avenue Baptist Church. And her parents are there. It's a Spirit-filled Baptist church. You guys won't know this, but James Robinson and Peter Lord and Alan Vincent, these different Baptists all got Spirit-filled. But they were too big in their churches for the denomination to kick them out. So we start going to their pastors' conferences. And her brother gives us a tape by the Sanfords, John and Paula Sanford, on spiritual warfare and deliverance on how to overcome the Jezebel spirit. So we go down to Florida, and we're visiting her family. And I don't know what I'm dealing with, but I'm pastoring. I got young children. I'm pastoring at a young age, a very significant church in the denomination, and I'm suicidal. I'm depressed. I didn't even know there was a Jezebel spirit. So we're traveling at night because our kids are young and they sleep and we can travel. So for 12 hours, we listened to this tape. This is back cassette tapes. There was no iTunes and iPods or nothing. And it was literally like we were translated because those things read our book and set us free. So I began to devour everything I could on spiritual warfare. I mean, you name it, we read it, we devoured it, we taught it in a Nazarene church that didn't believe in it. Then all of a sudden, Debbie and I get baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence or whatever you want to say. We have a prayer language. We start praying in tongues and speaking in tongues and start teaching healing. And we start teaching the fivefold ministry. And in a Nazarene church, we're bringing Graham Cook in to teach on prophetic conferences. We're bringing Alan and Eileen Vincent to come in and teach on the apostolic. And Eileen has spent 2 years with Paul Young Chi Cho in Seoul, Korea, and wrote the books on prayer in Korea. I asked Debbie to pray with me at 5 o'clock in the morning, every morning. And she said, no, I don't need to do that because that's the Koreans' time to pray. You'll get it in a moment. And we started doing it. And little did we know, we thought we were going to transform our church. And they came to us, the hierarchy in Kansas City, and said, you are teaching and preaching heresy contrary to the doctrine of the Church of the Nazarene. And you either renounce what you're doing or we will have a church trial and take your credentials. That wasn't part of the plan. Long story short, we said, no, we're not going to go through that. We surrender our ordination credentials. I remember that day, the district hierarchy, the state hierarchy, said, we will be there at 12 o'clock. You must be off the platform and you will hand your keys to the church to us. See, in that denominational system, it wasn't your church. it was the denominations. So we thought, great. So we went through hell for 2 years. Lost our house, lost our cars. Worked as an electrician helper. Stocked shelves at Kroger's at night. Had a 21-year-old boss. Threw a newspaper route so we could pay our bills. Long story short, we end up in Knoxville, Tennessee in a missionary's house because we had lost our house. Went through the dark night of the soul. I remember one night in Knoxville, Tennessee in Fountain City. How many know where that's at? Just north of Knoxville. Debbie was at Dillard's. The only job she could get, she couldn't get a teaching job. She was at Dillard's working in the housewares section. My kids were at a football game. Katie was farmed out at one of the friends' house, the church. And I wept so hard, I could not stop weeping. Gutterly, till my gut hurt, crying out. All the pain, all the disappointment, all the fear. All the trust in man, denomination. All the trust in all the things that I had built my whole life upon. And it was like a storm of wind clouds of hurricane proportions. Little did I know God was doing something great. He was moving me from change and transition into transformation. I remember Debbie had a dream during that time, and Debbie said, the dream was we were pioneers, and we had never heard the teaching on being pioneers. It seems like we live everything out that people teach. I have a hat, been there, done that, wearing that t-shirt. And so have you. Because what God does, He brings people to us to confirm what Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. Okay? She had this dream we were like in, you know, the settlers, the people in the West, going out west, the gold rush, and we were in a wagon train, and we got bogged down into quicksand and mud, and all our belongings were on the wagon train, and she was crying out to God, I'm paraphrasing, and God said, the only way you're going to save this is just to get rid of your heirlooms, get rid of everything that you have. And in the dream, we were throwing out all the things that we thought, the antiques, the memories, the traditions and everything. So long story short, God brings us into another denomination. And they were Pentecostal charismatic. And we thought, wow, they will love us. Do we have a testimony to tell? I didn't mean that in a pride way. I just thought, we have arrived to our destination. Little did we know when God brought us into teaching and understanding our Hebrew roots and Torah and the blessing that unlocks the scripture. We started teaching that 9 years ago, and that denomination came against us and said, that is not our doctrine. You don't teach our doctrine. So 7-year journey, we plant a church. And in that 7-year journey, we show up here because we knew Clay and Susan. And in that 7-year journey, God says, release that church in 2011 to your spiritual son and daughter. Now, let me tell you something cool. Last night, Debbie and I were in that church. I told Matt this. And I hired that couple out of Brownsville Revival School of Ministry during the Brownsville Revival to be our children's pastor in that denominational church. That children's ministry took off from the moment they stepped on the ground to literally the glory in the gymnasium where the children met, 150 and 200 kids. The parents could not go pick their kids up because the glory was so thick. I would bring the children's band into the sanctuary at least once a month to lead worship because they carried such a heavy anointing. These were 8 and 9 and 10 year old children that Ronnie had and Rhonda had won in just they'd go to lunch at the education at the elementary schools. These kids were trained. Just they just pick up an instrument and he would give them a few licks. The drummer was so small I couldn't even see him drum. He now is drumming and been at Juilliard. Well, anyway, all of those kids came back this weekend and are doing worship last night and this morning at that church. And it was amazing last night. They're all 22, 23, 24 years old, and they're all under the same roof again doing worship. Now, do you don't think I was a proud grandpa, spiritual granddad? That's fruit. But you know what? I had to turn that church over because God said, I want you to leave the pastoral ministry and I want you to go into the marketplace. So since 2011, I've been working in the marketplace, in the business field, and now in a manager and have Northwest Mississippi and 21 agents that I oversee. And I am apostolically, prophetically operating in the ecclesia, in the marketplace. I have 1 foot in religion and 1 foot in business. I'm telling you all this story to move into the scripture. Because what I'm telling you is Debbie and I have experienced change. I remember the prayer, Lord, as a young couple, Lord, change Debbie. She's driving me crazy. I don't know if I can live with her this way. And I would name all the things I would want God to change her over. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. He does. Tickle me, Matt. One of you guys, I think it was you, Matt, you're talking about driving and your wife said turn here or something and you put something on Facebook a couple weeks ago. It was so funny. I said, yeah, they're there. It's good. It's good. Work through it. It's all good. And I would say, change Debbie, Lord. And you know what the Holy Spirit would say to me? Let me change you first. That's not what I prayed. Why? Because God knew if he would change me, her change would be normal, natural. How many have ever seen that in your life? So we've all gone through change. It's amazing to me. Then transition. What do you do to get from change to transition? That's the first thing. If you read Mark 4, the previous to the first 35 verses, Jesus is talking to the throng, the multitude, the crowd, about change. You're sowing in the wrong field. So it's all about reaping and sowing. So if you're going to change, you've got to stop some of the way you're reaping. Because you're not going to get the transition if you keep sowing the things in your life. And we're not talking about money. We're talking about relationships, about attitude, about mindsets. I know that I'm supposed to be at University of Memphis and have a ministry there. But I refuse to prepare myself to get there. Okay, so you've got to be willing to stop reaping in that field. I'm stupid. I'm dumb. I'm ugly. It happens to everyone else, not me. I wish I could sing like that. I can sing like that in the shower. I don't understand why they don't let me be on the platform to sing. Well, let me ask you, have you done anything to prepare yourself for that? I mean, do you know how many hours it takes to prepare yourself to do what was done this morning? We are the blessed ones to be able to get the recipient of hours of study and practice and a preparation to do that. Amen. You ought to have seen the first time I spoke. I had 20,000 notes. And it took me 5 minutes to get through them. And now I have no notes and I speak for 2 hours. Something wrong with this picture, right? Something wrong with this picture. Get back to the 20,000 notes, layman. Amen. So what is it you need to change reaping and sow into something else? Hey, raising kids. Raising adult kids. Oh my goodness. How can they live that way or do that? They weren't raised that way. Change. My wife, again, she is a prophet. She said, Jim, you've got to change the way you talk about your adult kids. The things that frustrate you, you cannot talk to them about that way. Now, you know, when I preach, I'm very open or teach. So let's go through a couple of the practical things the Lord showed me through this passage, okay? Number one, first key to transition and transformation is reap differently so you'll be able to harvest or sow. Or sow differently, I'm trying to say. Thank you, you're getting it. Sow differently so you'll be able to reap differently, okay? Number two is what the Lord showed me, leadership. Jesus was already in the boat. I never saw that before. He was teaching from the boat, and he said, guys, get on the boat with me because we're crossing over. That's transition. Now, if I was in the boat, because I'm not a, what's the word, boatsman, you wouldn't want to get a boat with me. But Jesus was in the boat. And he welcomed them to come and join him. So leadership is key. Who you follow. Yes, who you attach yourself to in covenant and agreement with is key to your transition and transformation. Alignment is key to this. In fact, in the biblical month that started last night of the month of Tammuz, the fourth biblical month of the Hebrew calendar, this is the month that we must be very careful who we make covenant with, because this is the month that Israel worshiped the golden calf. And don't make covenant with people that will lead you into worshiping golden calves. See, this is why Debbie and I live by the Hebrew calendar. Because it helps me in business and ministry and relationships how to relate to what God is saying for this season so I can cross over to the other side. Number two, leadership and who you follow. Number three, you've got to be willing to move to the other side. Are you a church attender? Are you the ecclesia? Are you a complainer or are you a declarer? We have moved from the season of intercession to where we complain, oh God, oh God, oh God, save my children. Oh God, oh God, oh God, you know, I need a better job or whatever. We have moved from that. In fact, Dutch Sheets was here a couple weeks ago, and we had the privilege of eating with him several times. And he was talking this whole thing. In fact, CF and I, Christ for the Nations, one of the things he's dealing with is changing them from an old wineskin of intercession and worship to a wineskin, a new wineskin of a declaration. Okay? So, knowing who you are in Christ, knowing that we are saved by the cross, but we have power through the resurrection to stand at the wind and say, hush, be still, zip it, as though you're tired beating against my boat. You know, when I look at a storm, I say, in the name of Jesus, you will not touch this house, this property. But I have a new revelation. In the name of Jesus, you storm, you are so tired and weak, you're going to have to stop because you're just wore out. But see, that takes faith, and that takes an understanding of from being a church attender to being an ecclesia who you know who you are in Christ. And there are some storms in your life to get you to that place. Y'all follow me? Number three, let's say it again. Willing to move to the other side. It's like my six-year-old grandson trying to teach him how to dive off the diving board. And he wouldn't do it. He'd get to the diving board and he'd go, "I can't do it, Papa." "Yeah, you can do it." So all of a sudden, after about a day of working with him, he comes up and he said, "Papa, watch this." He doesn't dive off it. He jumps off and does a backflip and lands on his back. And pops up and he said, "That hurt, but that was fun." Now that's transformation. Right? The fear for that little guy, and you know it's about 2.5 feet off the water, whatever the diving board is. But see, I'm going to the other side. You've got to be willing to do it. That is part of the change. Getting a mindset, you know what? And I've said this for years, you've heard this. Until your fear of the circumstances, the pain of your circumstance, is greater than your fear of change, you will never change. How many times do you have to go through this? How many times do you have to feel the pain of the stagnancy of your life? Number four, get in the boat. And I put here, I feel like the boat is your prophetic word. The boat is your destiny. It is your purpose. The boat is being willing to leave the multitude. Do you know who the most critical of every transition and transformation we made? You know who the most critical was? Our parents. My dad pastored in the Church of Nazarene for 60 years. When I left the Church of Nazarene, he took it personally. How could you do that? You were schooled there. This is who we are. I remember sitting in our living room there weeping and crying. What do you mean? Of course, he's proud of you. He loves you. He cares for you. I mean, there were years we couldn't talk about the differences we had theologically. I don't tell them we do a Shabbat meal and Torah teaching and Jewish roots on Friday nights. They couldn't handle that. But I do tell them we have a small group Bible study. Because they can handle that. Amen. How's your Bible study going? It's going great, Dad. Keep praying for us. And I mean that with all respect and honor. Okay. Yeah, that's wisdom. See, I've learned. Debbie's taught me well. Getting in the boat is that place where God wants us. It means risk. They were headed to the other side. The other side is the transformation. The boat ride with Yeshua in the boat is the transition. Now look at this. It says in verse, I think, 36, that they left the throng. They left the multitude. Sometimes you have to leave the comfortable and what people think and say to move into where God wants you to live and be. What do you mean, Pastor Ken, you want a pastor church? What do you mean, Pastor Ken, you're starting a coffee house on Ground Zero at University of Memphis? What do you mean you want to take a group to Israel? I mean, come on, we raised you to be a successful businessman. I can't believe the people that don't know how to relate to Debbie and I since we left the pastoral ministry. We tell them we retired from pastoral ministry just because they can't handle any other explanation. God told us to do this and do this, so we did. Sylvia attended our church. Robbins attended our church. I said, you know, God told us to go to the marketplace and raise up an apostolic prophetic team in the marketplace. I tell people this in business world. I tell them this. I said, you know what I do? I Aflac during the week to support my ministry habit on weekends. Who ever thought that ministry was right here? And this ministry is where you have been planted. Why is it we work 30 years at the same place, 8 to 10 hours a day, and never impact them for the kingdom of God? Well, that's my secular job. No, that's the kingdom. I've gone to meddling, I'm sorry. Now, let's move on. So what happens? You can count on it the moment you get in the boat to transition, a storm's going to come. And a lot of times, the storm gets bigger and more violent because we give it fodder by what we talk about and say. I can't believe I'm doing this. This is never going to work out. What am I thinking of? I stepped out of a surefire, secure, every week salary to go totally 100% commission. I remember telling Debbie I was going to sell Aflac. She said, isn't that 100% commission? I said, yeah, but God said do it. She said, how are we going to pay our bills? I said, that's God's problem. Our bills have been paid. I get to go all over the world, and Aflac pays the way. Aflac's going to pay my way to Israel. Because I have a big bonus coming in August. So I'm going to Israel the end of August or first September. Now, I don't say that just, remember, I say that with all humility. But you've got to be willing to, hey, I can pastor. I can do this. I'm like Michael Jordan. I can close my eyes and do it. I can do a wedding. I've done hundreds of them. I can do funerals. I know where to stand. I know the protocol. Now, no disrespect. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But God wanted us to transition to something else. Israel, age 50. That was faith. Amen. Did you go by yourself? Okay. Second time did. Amazing. So here's this storm. How many have stepped out in faith and tried something and all of a sudden all hell comes against you? How many got married? And all of a sudden the honeymoon was over. What about that little baby that you move from toilet training to kindergarten? They become a teenager. Now, am I not saying it's natural to go change, transition, transformation? That's the process. God has set that in motion for us. That's the journey. Now, I'm going to get to the end of the message soon. No, I'm almost done, okay? This is what I wrote. There will be storms getting to the other side. Oh, I just felt the anointing on that. Holy Spirit goosebumps all over me. Praise God. There is going to be storms getting to the other side. Part of the maturity of faith. Why do we say exercise your faith? because without storms and trials, there is no faith. And exercising is motion. Someone asked me the other day, how are you doing? I said, I'm exercising my faith. In other words, I'm in God's fitness center, and I am doing right now all the stuff to exercise my faith, because it comes through faith that I'm matured and made strong. Now, it's amazing to me. Listen, Jesus was I've preached this before, down in the bottom of the boat, the uttermost bottom of the boat. He was asleep. The disciples are beside themselves. I can imagine. It wasn't just a storm. It said a violent storm like a hurricane. If you're from Kentucky, it's a hurricane. If you're from Florida, it's a hurricane. Okay. Now, how many have ever been on a boat when storm did come up? Have you been in one with a violent storm? I can't imagine, but this was like a hurricane. And we all do it. Jesus, wake up. There is a reason why he's at rest. Because he knows that nothing's going to stop us from getting to the other side. Somebody needs to hear that today. Somebody needs to hear. Jesus! Not that he did not care. Not that he was not concerned. Not that he did not have mercy or grace. But he was at rest because there was purpose and destiny to build faith, because he knew what was going to happen at the other side of the lake. Whew, Jesus. Lord, help us. When we cry out and we don't hear anything, he's at rest. Do you not care that we're going to die? He didn't rebuke them because they didn't have faith. Now listen to this. He rebuked them because they were timid. That's a whole different story. He did not, let me say it again. They had faith, they got in the boat. They had faith, they had followed Jesus now for some time. They had left all their careers and they were following Jesus. They had faith. It was not a faith issue. I hear people say, if you just had more faith. No, faith is faith. You got it. Exercise of faith. Stop walking in fear and doubt and timidity and declare to that wind, hush, be still. Storm, you will not affect my destiny, my transformation. In fact, I'll be like an eagle and I'll just set my wings. Yeah. You did it this morning. Yes. And I laughed when you did it this morning. I'll just set my wings because the storm will just take me higher. Yes. Woo, glory. Now it gets better. He gets to the other side. Let's go to chapter 5. The other side is transformation. Say to your neighbor, the other side is transformation. They came to the other side of the sea, to the region of the Gerasenes. And as soon as he got out of the boat, there met him out of the tombs, the caves, under the power of an unclean spirit. The man continued to live among the tombs, and no one could subdue him anymore, even with a chain. For he had been bound often with shackles for the feet and handcuffs, but the handcuffs of light chains he wrenched apart. And the shackles he rubbed on the ground together and broken pieces, and no one had strength enough to restrain or tame him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he would always shriek and scream and beating and bruising and cutting himself. Would you say this guy had some issues? And when from distance he saw Jesus, he ran and fell on his knees before him in homage. Boy, that's a whole other story. Do we carry the anointing and Holy Spirit in such a way that when demonic things come to us, they come and bow in worship to Yeshua who's in us? And crying out with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I solemnly implore you by God, do not begin to torment me, for Jesus was commanding, come out of the man and the unclean spirit." And you know the rest of the story. They came out, they were legions. They came out and they went into 2,000 swine or hogs or pigs, whatever you want to say. Now here's the issue. The reason God wants us to go from change to transition is because transformation will just not affect us. It'll affect our family. It'll affect our business. It will affect a region. That's why we don't need revival anymore in the church. That's why God is crying out in this season for the body of Christ to know who they are, because he needs transformation. Until we see like we have in the past, where cities are changed, where nations are changed. Now, you don't know this through this, but I've done some study. This region worshiped the god Artemis. Decapolis was nearby, and it was a city of worship. And listen to this. What did they offer in offerings to the guard of Artemis? Pigs, swine. It was a natural part of the worship. So there was a lot of money. There was a lot of economics. There was a lot of issues of this whole worship of this false god Artemis. Jesus knew they need to get to the other side, because there was a strong man that needed to be pulled down to set the people free. Now, what's amazing by this is they go into the swine, and the swine go, and they go crazy, and they run off the, there's cliffs there into the Sea of Galilee on the eastern shore. So Jesus doesn't only deal with the false worship. He sets the man free. He destroys the economic system that's feeding the false worship. And a region comes under the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Would you say to your neighbor, that's transformation? No wonder the storm was there. Because Jesus knew what the disciples did not know, that transformation was on the other side. God, give us eyes of Yeshua. That when we're going through transition, transition's tough. I can remember this when our firstborn son was born, 24 hours in labor. He was posterior. And so instead of coming out the birth canal natural, he was upside down and he was pressing on Debbie's sciatica. And it was awful. And she was in transition. I knew she was in transition because I went to get some coffee and she said, "Where are you going?" I said, "We've been here 24 hours. Can I get some coffee?" She said, "Oh no, you got me in this. You're staying in this room." No, I'm serious. I knew that look. She was in transition. And it hurt. And she labored. And an old midwife nurse, an old OBGYN nurse that served many years, after a while came in. We'd never seen her before. And she said, "Sweetheart, you need to change your position." And she got up on, like, she just got up on her hands and knees. And that lady said, "Just rock a little bit." And I rubbed her back. I rubbed, not there, no there, you know how, right there. Oh yeah, okay. I remember. And little Matt turned and birth took place. Life is full of changes. Life is full of transitions. Storms will come. Trials will be there. But don't get discouraged, because Jesus knows what's on the other side. And it's transformation. And all we have to do is sometimes just change our posture. Would you stand with me? Let's pray.